Hi, Dan.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Oh, hey. It is that, isn't it?
It's that time of year.
It snuck up on me.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Everything is a mess. The Six Color server is down right now. We don't know why. It's supposed to migrate next week, but it's down now. So Greg is looking into that. So I have no place, as we record this, I have no place to post it, but I'm looking forward to it coming back up. If you can hear this, dear listener, dear subscriber, the server went back up. Welcome to 2018. We're still alive. Also, I have no iMac on my desk right now. It's just an empty arm. My iMac is laying on my dining room table because I am taking it to have the spidery screen looked at, my spider embedded screen, because there's, as if people didn't see it, I wrote a thing about it, I took a picture of it, there's a spider in my screen in the one piece monitor housing of the modern iMac, which does not have the piece of glass on the front you can take off with magnets, you know, with suction and get to the screen. There's an air gap there. It's not a laminated screen, because I can tell you there's a spider in there. And I heard from people who have had flies or ants appear in their screen. And it's like 800 pixels from the left side and about 500 pixels from the top. So it's not quite central, but it's in my eye line every minute of every day.
I assume it's an X spider by now.
Oh, it's not. It has not moved since I've seen it. So yes, it was dead by the time I saw it.
That was a spider that crawled in there. It was like, this seems like a good place, and then things went horribly awry for that spider.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, I had an iMac for many years that had a blue line of pixels up the bottom of the display, which similarly was kind of annoying. Although, honestly, that one, I kind of just sat with it for years, and you stopped noticing it after a while, which was a little weird. And then every once in a while, you would glance at it and be like, oh, yeah, there's a line of pixels up part of the display. But it really wasn't until it started turning other colors that I got annoyed with it enough to replace that computer. But, yeah, that can be very distracting and annoying.
What I decided was, I am going to try very hard to get this thing removed or replaced, because it's driving me nuts. And if that means I have to pay a few hundred dollars, I decided it was worth it for me to do that, because I don't want to look at it. And the other thing is, even if I want to buy an iMac Pro at the end of the year, I don't want to sell this or give it to somebody in my family with a spider in the middle of the screen. It's like, oh yeah, there's the spider. Just enjoy the spider. Yeah, I don't want to do
the
that.
The screen is fine. Just don't turn it on. It's fine.
Yeah. Don't look at it. Just put some tape over that little part of the screen and just never look there.
Have you considered charging extra for the spider?
I have thought about if there was like a plug-in or something that would redefine my monitor as being just kind of on the right side of the display and just like blank out the left side. Like, nope, there's nothing there. No, this is just a little lopsided, this iMac. Just a little lopsided.
Or maybe you just put all spiders on that side of your display.
Oh, well,
camouflage.
Sure. Actually, that would be another way to do it, is have like some sort of a plug-in that draws fake spiders randomly across the whole screen.
Your brain would probably adjust to that at some point. That would be kind of weird, though, because people would come over and be like, why are there spiders all over your screen? What spiders?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That would be strange, but yeah. Possible. Yeah, these things happen. I've recently been doing some troubleshooting. My mother has an iMac. It does not have a spider beneath the screen, but it is getting a little bit older. And she said, I've been having trouble with this. I feel like every time I try to do something, I get the spinning beach ball. So I went over to take a look at it. And of course, you know, when I get there, it works fine. Like, yeah, it's a little bit on the sluggish side, but there's nothing like debilitating with it. And so I installed a content blocker in Safari, because I mean, it's an older iMac, and definitely some of those web pages have other processes that can hijack your resources a bit. So I figured, well, I'll put on an ad blocker and we'll update to the latest version of Safari and turn off all the autoplay and that kind of stuff. And so we're going to see how that goes. But it was definitely a moment of trying to figure out, well, the biggest problem with this is that it has a spinning disk drive in it, and that's going to make it slow. And we could put a SSD in it, but that would probably require somebody else to do it because you do need all the suction cups and everything. And either way, it's going to cost a little bit of money to do that. And is it worth upgrading a computer that is 5 or 6 years old instead of just buying a new one?
Yeah.
And at that point, also, we sort of were talking enough and realized, like, wait, what are you actually using this for now? Because she also has an iPad, and I feel like she uses her iPad for most stuff. And started to think, well, maybe there's no point in replacing a desktop computer when you have an iPad that we could just get you a keyboard for, and you might use that as much, if not more. Especially because my dad has a MacBook Pro, 13-inch MacBook Pro, which is way more computer than either of them need. So they still have a Mac in the house. But, you know, replacing an iMac seems, at this day and age, for what they're doing with it, overkill.
Right, overkill, yeah. I hate it, though, when you take an old iMac. You know there are certain things that it does just fine, but at the at the same time, like, the world has moved on. Like, I still have the 2009 iMac that used to be our computer. It's still here. I mean, I guess I'll just take it to computer recycling at some point, but it's like, I put an SSD in it at one point. It's faster, but it's still really slow.
Yep.
But you could still write things on it and all that. You know, it's not Retina, but it's fine on one level, and yet on another level, nobody wants it.
That's the problem, is getting rid of these things. They're in so low demand. When I replaced my 2011 iMac, I just did the recycling thing via Apple's website, which actually got me a little bit of money for it, which was nice. But yeah, they're just, especially with, again, similar problem. I had that line of Pixels up the display, and it's like, if I'm not going to get that fixed, I can't sell it for any useful amount of money. And I don't want to spend the time or money fixing it. So,
right. And this 2009 iMac that I have is right before they did target display mode.
So you can't use
use it as an external monitor either. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, these things should they'd last longer, which is great because they're desktops and they have, you know, more horsepower in them a lot of times. But it does mean that once you've gotten sort of squeezed all the use out of it, the places to send it, you know, are much more limited because either, you know, people don't want older desktops, or there's a lot of places where they just don't want computers, right? Like, so much of this, the world has moved to tablets and smartphones, that trying to dispose of an old computer is, you know, basically you have the option maybe to sell it for a little bit of money or recycle it, essentially.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Computers are dumb.
People, I like them,
use them anymore,
but they are dumb.
they're dumb. They're dumb. So yeah, I'm sitting here with my MacBook Air on my desk. It's teeny tiny, with a bunch of cables plugged into it, sort of from that they used to be plugged into the iMac, so I can do this podcast and all that. And then after this is over, I'm gonna carry that iMac up to the service people, and we'll see what they say. It's not as heavy as I feared. It's big, right? But it's not that heavy, and I don't have the Visa mount model, so it came off of my mounting arm pretty easily, 4 Phillips screws, and it came off, and now, you know, I just sort of carry it by the Visa mount box on the back. But that's one of these, you know, this iMac is not, right now, the modern iMacs, you have to choose if you want it with a Visa mount or if you want it on a foot. And I chose the mount, which is great. But now I have to kind of unscrew it and just carry this screen with me.
I was impressed, though. I looked up the weight thing, too, when I was replacing the old iMac and trying to figure out, like, oh, well, this, I'm going from a 21.5-inch to a 27-inch. Is this going to be a lot heavier for this desk? And I looked it up, and they were like, basically the same weight. Like, they had cut down, they slimmed down so much of the internal components in the 27-inch that even though it is physically much larger than the 21.5, you know, 6 years later, it weighs about the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that just shows you. I mean, same thing when I replaced my TV. You know, I went up like 10 to 15 inches in screen size, and because it was not appreciably heavier. It was larger, and like the foot would not sit as well on my old TV stand, so I had to replace the TV stand, but weight wise, it was negligibly heavier, if at all. So miniaturization.
Yeah. It's amazing. Well, I've got that, you know, I've got my crazy replacement for the Mac Mini thing, which is still running fine. The Intel thing that I've hacked to run OS X or Mac OS Sierra, I suppose. And it's so small. So I want one of those. Everything's getting smaller. I mean, that's the funny thing is with the iMac is there's the screen. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, there's not a lot to it. It's got some, and they've got the fact that they can pack essentially like a Mac Pro kind of set of performance on the back of one with the iMac Pro shows you how miniaturized everything is getting. It's a weird day around here. Is what I'm saying. Weird day. Also, I'm happy to report now that our server hosting company has reported that they have detected an issue affecting the physical host.
Uh-oh.
That our virtual server resides on, which Greg Noss said reinterpreted that as someone unplugged something.
Something done broke.
Oops. It's pretty funny. Well, hopefully, I mean, it's all backed up and everything. It's fine, but still, it's downtime. It's not. I'm glad this didn't happen during a like an Apple event or something. That would have been bad.
Well, high percentages of uptime, but there's always a little bit of downtime.
Yeah,
hard to avoid. Meanwhile, there's a very high-pitched fire alarm going off somewhere in my neighborhood.
I can hear it. I there's something Great. Going on here. I think there's like a leaf blower going on. But yeah, that's awesome. That's another awesome thing.
That's been happening a few times. I think like once a week for the last several weeks, there is some fire alarm going off. And one time, the fire department did get called, and they went in. It was next door, and they did like bring in a hook and ladder and like climb up the ladder and open a window on the third floor of the house next door and climb in and stuff, which I thought was pretty crazy.
Wow.
That was a little bit of excitement. I don't know. Hopefully that won't happen again because that will be extra loud. There's always working from home. So much excitement. Mm.
So what's going on? I would normally look at the Six Colors archive to see what sort of stories we have been posting, but hey, it's not up. It's gone.
Well, Apple news-wise, there's been a little bit, not a lot. We did have the announcement today of new emoji coming in iOS 11.1.
Yeah, which they previewed that for World
they
Emoji
did.
Day, but there's more on the... They know, I mean, if Jeremy Berg hasn't already told them, then they figured it out themselves that new emoji actually drives people to update because they want to get the new emoji and they want to see what their friends are sending them. So yeah, it's kind of a big deal. There's a lot of them too.
Yeah, and they said the betas for 11.1 is coming next week with the full release still TBD, but presumably within the next 4 or 5 weeks, I would guess. I mean, I think it's probably less a matter of actually beta testing stuff than it is them deciding when they want to do it. I'm sure there are, beta things to work out. The Apple Pay is supposed to come in that release as well. And I believe there's the watchOS music streaming is coming in a watchOS beta.
Yeah.
So there's like more, just when you thought that it was safe to get out of the beta pool, there's more beta releases.
Well, I think it's worth noting that like one of the things that I sometimes forget to do is get off the beta train, and you want to get off the beta train and then decide if you want to, because like being on the beta for the big release is one thing, but being on the beta for the small release is like, that's a different story.
Yeah. And once it's happened, it's harder. You can't really roll it back until the full release has come out.
The emoji thing is cool. The Apple Watch, I mentioned that because I did post an Apple Watch review this week on Six Colors, and because I've been living with it for the last couple of weeks, and the promise of streaming, I mean, it's in the ads, right? Stream millions of songs on your wrist, and it's not there. They're instead doing this kind of aggressive playlist syncing. I mean, playlist syncing has been available from the beginning, but it's much more aggressive and comprehensive now, and with Apple Music playlists, and they're trying to make some guesses about things that you have been listening to that that they're putting overnight while your watch is charging on the watch. They're loading it on there so that when you're out and about, you can listen to music. But the promise is you could literally pick any artist or playlist or whatever that's on Apple Music, and it'll stream it over cellular if it's not cached. And that's not there. The other thing that's floating out there is the iMessage archive in the cloud, where all your devices sync together, and there's one single agreed upon repository of all messages, which is a big feature that was announced and didn't ship. That has to ship, and that has to ship across all the platforms. So there's, you know, their work is not done. Although I was listening to ATP, I think last week, and you got to give Apple some credit that they are, at least to a certain extent, willing to pull features out. They can't change their ship date, really. They commit to these ship dates. They want to ship when the new iPhone ships, and they want to ship in September. But they have shown some facility to be willing to pull features that aren't ready. And
It's been very interesting to watch this sort of staggered release thing too, right? Because I was noting, you know, I was watching some TV over lunch, and I definitely have seen commercials, like Verizon commercials, where they're talking about like, oh, get the, you know, the new iPhone and the nation's best network, etc. And all of that, it strikes me as kind of amusing, because of course the new iPhone, will they be running new iPhone ads like a month from now when the iPhone 10 ships? Because right now, everybody, you know, if you didn't know, if you weren't plugged in to sort of a slightly more like tech angle, I feel like that messaging could be much more confusing, because, you know, obviously I feel like the iPhone 8 has gotten a big push as well. I've seen a bunch of iPhone 8 ads, and I've seen very little mentioned about the iPhone 10, though I did see some billboards the other day. But I feel like, you know, this is a really, we've talked about in the past, like releasing multiple models of phones, especially staggered this far apart, is kind of a new experience. So I'm kind of curious to how the general public is receiving this, and whether the, like, the messaging for that is going to be different. Or maybe they're just counting on the fact that all the people who are plugged in are going to order the iPhone 10 and there won't be any left for anybody else. So they don't really need to do any advertising because they're making much smaller volumes.
Yeah, don't tell anyone about the iPhone 10.
Secret exclusive iPhone.
It's, yes. What if they released a secret iPhone? You need to know the password in order to get the iPhone 10. The answer is don't call it the iPhone X. Or you get in trouble.
You get in trouble. It's not right.
I like the Apple Watch, although, I mean, my review, how do you review this product? It's like, the Apple Watch is way better than it used to be. The hardware has really progressed a long way. The software has progressed, but is clearly behind the hardware. Apple's ambitions with the hardware are not fulfilled by the software. And while I think for some people it is going to be amazing, I think for a lot of people it's like, I'm going to pay more and a monthly fee so that if I don't have my phone with me, I can still get texts or phone calls. Like, that is a very specific use case that works really well for runners and, you know, I don't know, runners and maybe bicyclists and swimmers and stuff like that. There's certain things where I think it makes sense, where you don't want to bring your phone with you if you don't have to. It's just going to weigh you down or, you know, be unwieldy in some way, or just have the freedom to leave it behind, just sort of philosophically, and be like, I'm reachable, but I'm not going to be distracted by my phone. I think those are both decent use cases, but it's one of those things where, like, today it's like really early on. So it's one of those products. I think what I said was, I think this is the future. Like, this is the shape of things to come, is devices like this that are just, things that as we assumed that computers were the only way to be on the internet, and then there were phones and tablets, and it was like, oh, there are other ways to get on the internet. This is like, there are other ways to stay connected than to keep your phone with you all the time. But this is like the start of that. And so while I believe this product is the future of the Apple Watch, it's the future of a lot of these small technological devices that we carry with us. I'm not sure this actual product is for a wide variety of people, trying to split the difference there a little bit.
It's an interesting move too, because I think, you know, coming at it from the perspective of somebody who bought an Apple Watch, you know, pretty much day one, we're now several years into the Apple Watch, and, you know, a lot of times you hear people like doing the sort of bargaining thing where, like, oh, you know, I'm going to upgrade my Apple Watch, but I'm going to wait until I have feature X. And I think Apple assumes that for a lot of people, cellular connectivity is that feature. But I think you're also right that it's not as widespread Because people haven't gotten accustomed to going places without their phone. So certainly this makes it possible, but right now so much of what you do is on the phone that people still continue to carry it with them. And they're not really, I think most people aren't going to change that until there's a really compelling reason. Like, it's one thing to say, I'm going to leave my phone behind when I go take a run. It's another thing to say, I'm going to leave my phone behind when I go to the grocery store or something like that. Because, sure, you could, but for most people, a phone is not something probably that they consider, you know, an extra burden if they're bringing a wallet and keys or something like that. Like, it varies, but I think most people still tend to be pretty comfortable carrying a phone at this point. So for me, I think if I sat down and looked at a Series 3 Apple Watch and compared the performance to my original Apple Watch, I would be, interested in, okay, it's a lot faster. It seems like some things are, a lot more responsive. That could be a big upgrade for me. But they're so, for me, still limited in what I do with my watch that I have not felt any desire to upgrade to the new version. There hasn't been that feature X is the thing that's going to tip me over the edge to updating. And the closest thing that I can think of looking forward is that the Series 3 Apple Watch supports the Qi charging, and when Apple eventually comes out with their AirPower pad, like, oh, that seems like it might make enough of a difference in my life, just convenience-wise, that I might be interested in upgrading to a new watch. But the cellular thing doesn't really do it for me. I can understand the use cases, and there are definitely places where I would feel like, okay, that could be handy, but it's not compelling enough because I don't take my phone with me, or I don't not take my phone with me. And there just aren't so many things that I want to be connected to. Like, I don't go for runs with just my watch, etc. So I think it's interesting, and there are probably some holdouts who will be glad to have it. But I think that you're right in the assessment that you made earlier on, that this is kind of what they were shooting for all along. And so it sort of establishes a baseline for these devices, but we haven't yet necessarily seen what is going to make us make that shift from I carry a phone and a watch to,
right,
oh, I don't need to carry my phone.
But some of that is going to be just resistance, because of habit. Like you just said, I don't run without my phone. So you run and carry your phone with you.
Oh, I go to the gym. That's the thing. I don't run outside. There's no reason for me to do that. So like,
bears,
I go to the gym and
I'd be chasing you.
You don't run into too many of those around here. But I also watch video. Like, I put my phone on the elliptical machine or treadmill or whatever, and I watch something while I run. I'm going to carry my phone with me.
No, that makes sense. I think that there will be, this is it, is there'll be cases where you're like, that's no point. There's no point in that. Like, when I walk my dog or something, like, I'm not driving somewhere to walk her. I just am stepping outside. I don't need to bring keys. I don't need to bring a wallet, honestly, because I could just, if I'm going to Whole Foods or something, I could just use Apple Pay. That's on my watch. Mm-hmm. I have that too. So like I have some of these instances, which is why I start to think, oh, this is pretty cool. Then again, there are lots of other things that you start to take for granted when you're carrying a phone with you. I have
a camera.
I have a couple of times been like, oh, I'll take a, nope.
Yeah.
I was with Lauren, and I had her take a picture of something because I was like, I can't take a picture. She says, aha, see? That's, your fancy watch can't do that. And I said, no, you're
right.
And
the same thing with like leaving your wallet behind is like, yeah, I guess I could, if I left my wallet behind, I could still go to the grocery store. But like, what if the Apple Pay terminal was broken? Like, little things like that where it's like, well, I should probably carry my wallet just in case. It's more like right. Well, I don't know. I guess I feel like if I'm halfway to the grocery store and I realize I left my wallet behind, I don't have to turn around. And that's nice. But most of the time, my wallet's just in my pocket. So like, I don't even think about it. And yeah, I think there is a future where maybe you're reducing the amount of stuff that you carry around. And some of it will be wearing down resistance. And some of it is like, my phone's not that big. Like, it's not a huge burden for me to carry it most places. I agree, if I were an outdoor runner, if I was going every day, like, yeah, I would definitely prefer that. When I used to run on a track or something, I would use like an iPod Nano, and like that was fine. But for me, it's just not as enough of a use case. So I don't know what it is though. Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out, is like, what is the use case where I decide, I don't need to carry my phone all these different places. And I haven't figured that out yet, but I'm kind of curious to see where they're going with it.
Yeah, and this is this is the start. Like, that's just very clear to me.
Yeah.
Like, this is the start. This is going to keep happening. we're gonna keep having these sort of like that cost more and you have to pay more, but now this thing is independent of your phone if you need it to be. And you know, that's just gonna keep on happening, and everybody will decide what's right for them about it. But it provides an option that wasn't there before, which I think is exciting. Yeah, I mean, AirPods will probably be independent at some point, right? Now, that might take years, but why wouldn't they be? Why wouldn't you be able to just run with your AirPods and have the music play and take calls and talk to Siri, right? I mean, you could do that. So who knows? I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I'm most interested, I think, in the fact that Apple's software game is just has not been able to keep up with the hardware. The hardware has advanced so much, and the software has advanced. Like I said, I don't want to say the software hasn't advanced, but there's so much that the software kind of like falters on because it's just, you know, the third-party apps are limited in what they can do. And, you know, even something like the promise of streaming the music is not something they can do. It's, you know, watchOS was not originally conceived to be anything but a reflection of the iPhone, and they're still living that down.
I think, you know, it's looking, projecting out forward. I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago on Macworld talking about this idea, like that Apple working on some sort of heads up display, some sort of, you know, smart glasses, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what form it would take, but to me, there's a very compelling argument in something of that sort, because I feel like the biggest limiting factor on the watch right now, just in terms of inherently the design of the watch, is that the screen is very small and there are a limited number of things that you really want to do in that use case. You mentioned in your review, you know, like part of the problem with having apps that run really slowly is you don't want to stand there with your wrist held up waiting for something to happen, right? Like the whole ideal of the watch is sort of this glanceable interface. You look at it, yep, there's my notification, you put it away again. And that works in a lot of scenarios, but there are plenty of things in which that doesn't really deal with the kind of stuff that we're doing. And so, you know, looking at the idea of like, well, if you had some sort of display that it could communicate with where you don't even have to, you know, look at your wrist, or you can look at something more in depth without having to hold your wrist in front of your face, like that, to me, there's a compelling argument in there for the future. I think they're being very careful if they are working on something like this, because the sort of cautionary tale of Google Glass is out there. And that was a really, you know, it got a lot of flack, and rightfully so for a lot of it. But, you know, I think that that is a direction that things will be going eventually. And I think especially if you look at what they've been doing with augmented reality, there's a strong argument for that kind of thing, because augmented reality right now is super cool, but its biggest lack, you know, or biggest like shortcoming is the fact that you have to stand around holding your phone up. And to me, I can't imagine doing that for a lot of cases. Yeah. Like I tried to play there's a game I like that's like a board game on my iPad called Suro, and they have an AR mode where you can like, you know, point it at your table and the board shows up there. I'm like, this is great. This is really cool. But then I have to hold an iPad, and even a 10.5-inch iPad, like if you're trying to hold it with one hand and make a game move with your other hand, like that gets tiring really quickly and it feels very awkward. And a lot of these games where you're pointing at the table and you, like, especially with an iPad where you are trying to point it, hold it up at the right angle so it's looking at the table and do something on screen, it's cool, but it is not like a thing that most people would choose to do, because you could just be sitting there with it on your lap or something like that, which is far more comfortable. And so I have to think that, you know, having some sort of display or something that is in front of your eyes without requiring you to hold something up would be a much more natural use case for AR. And certainly looking at like Microsoft's HoloLens and stuff like that makes a more compelling argument, especially if there is a way that Apple can come up with to actually interact with virtual objects using some sort of like camera-based motion tracking system or something like that. I mean, that I feel like could open up a lot of possibilities, and I would be surprised if they're not at least investigating what that looks like.
No doubt. I mean, The AR stuff now is like, well, we've got a really powerful device that people can hold in their hands. It's got a great camera on the back. Let's do this, right? And because they can do that now.
Yep.
And so that's where we start. And then we'll see where we go from there.
There's super cool stuff. I mean, I've used some of those like measuring apps where you can like point at like spaces and be like, oh, how long is this? Or like measure the dimensions of your room. And it's like, this is pretty cool. Like, and I can imagine a number of scenarios where this would be really handy to have. But yeah, it's certainly handicapped by the way that you use it.
Right. Right. I do like the idea of games that have like a map, like a 3D map where you're not just standing there holding your phone up, but you're like moving around the table to like get a different view. And instead of like on a, like if you think of something like isometric view, like StarCraft or something like that, where you're moving around the map with, you know, with arrow keys or the mouse or whatever. And instead you have that out on a tabletop. And so your selections,
really 3D. Yeah.
Your selections are you moving around. That's kind of interesting, although I can also see how that there's probably some serious usability issues, because now if you've got like an iPad, you're holding on with two hands, but now you need to gesture, so you have to like take one hand off, and then you're right. So there's issues.
Yep.
I can see it.
Yeah,
ergonomic
it's interesting
issues.
Yeah. It's early days, but it's interesting to see all these building blocks and see the kind of stuff that could be made with it in the future.
All right, well, I should probably go because I got to give my spider the trip of a lifetime.
You're sending him off in style, like a Viking funeral.
I guess so. Like, he's got a great coffin. It's a 5K coffin.
you should put it on the outside of your spaceship.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the best place, is the outside of the spaceship.
That's where you
keep
it.
Reference acknowledged.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you to everybody out there for subscribing to Six Colors. We appreciate it, especially when the site's up, which maybe it is by the time you're hearing this. It definitely is by the time you're hearing this. Otherwise,
where are you hearing this?
Otherwise, I don't know how that would happen. So until next time, we will just say goodbye. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.